Mark chapter number 6, let's stand together, and we're going to start reading in verse number 30. The Bible says in Mark 6 and verse 30, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." Okay, you all see that word apart? This is free, this is not the message. Do y'all see the word apart there? That means separate. Okay? A over here, part over here means we are glad that we were a part of your wedding. A part. This is just your social media spelling tip of the day, okay? If you say, we are so glad to be a part, APART, of the family get together, it meant you weren't there. All right? So, anyways, he said, come apart. All right? Let's separate. Into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." And he answered and said unto them, notice this, he answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." In other words, he answered and said unto them, give. Okay? So, the message this morning is a question: are you a giving person? Are you naturally a giving person? Young people, this message is as much for you. You're growing up in a world today that tries to get the government to pay for everything, including their college degrees. That is not the way God intended things to be. But what God did intend is for everyone, but especially Christians, to be givers. You see somebody on the side of the road broke down, do you ever even give it a second thought that you might be the one that God would have to help them? You walk by the Salvation Army person, does it just annoy you because they're ringing that bell? Or do you actually think, you know what? I mean, I could give $2, but 1,000 people times $2 is $2,000 in that kettle by the end of the day. Do you look around and do you see needs? And do you say, you know what? We could be a blessing. Or do you say, no, this is all mine. I was making fun of Brother Greg this week. Miss Tiffany had texted me some stuff, and she always group texts with me and Brother Greg, and I think that's a safe thing to do. And so Brother Greg was joking about something at the bank, and he said, "I just gave somebody a loan, and I'm not going to get on all of it." But anyhow, so Miss Tiffany sent us back that Mr. Potter picture. It's a Wonderful Life. Remember Mr. Potter? You know. Is that you when it comes to giving? I can't believe preacher's birthday. Wasn't it just appreciation month? Why don't we do something for Trent? I mean, who is he to ask for tithes and offerings? Well, I know a person has a blown out tire, but I mean, be ye warmed. Is this you? Wait, never mind. Let me do it the right way. Y'all like my wallet too? It's about kids have tried to buy me a new wallet for years, but it's got the right shape. I don't want something new. Is this you? Yeah. Now, I'm serious. I'm doing this on purpose. I know you want to sit, but I want you to think. Is this you? Yeah. Well, we're going to collect something for some people that need some groceries. Well, I probably have 50 cents. Are you a giver or not? I just want to challenge you from the scripture this morning. Be a giver, all right? Let's pray. Lord, would you bless the message this morning, challenge our hearts, help us to work at it in this area, see some biblical reasons why we ought to be givers. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Christmas time is certainly a time to give, and that's what kind of laid the thought on my mind. In fact, I think the thought crossed my mind the other day when my wife and I were wrapping up some Christmas shopping. Most of us in here by this point have been busy trying to find that perfect gift. to give our kids, which is coal, right? Or our grandkids, for those of you who should be so fortunate. Maybe you've been looking around for that perfect gift for your parents, or your spouse, or maybe a friend or a coworker. It's just that time of year. The lines are long. People are everywhere. But the truth is that we as Christians, teenagers, don't go to sleep on me, because you're a young man. You're a young lady in this world, needs to learn how to be a giver. And some of you are. The truth is that we as Christians ought to be givers all year long, seeing needs and meeting the needs, finding opportunities to be a blessing to someone else. Most of us in here have really more than heart could wish if your heart's in tune with God, because if your heart's in tune with God and with the Word of God, then you're a content person who is thankful for what you have, and your mindset's normally, you know, like my kids are asking me, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? We can't figure out what to get you for Christmas. I say, I don't know, because I mean, if I need a pair of blue jeans, I'll just go buy a pair of blue jeans, or if I need a tool, I normally would go get that tool. So I honestly don't, as a 48-year-old, I don't have a list of I wish everybody would go out and get me this kind of thing. God's been good in my life. But you know, the Bible teaches us to be givers and not just wait and see what's given to us. In fact, Romans chapter 12 talks about different spiritual gifts. And one of those gifts is the gift of giving, the gift of giving. Some of you in here as adults, some of you as teenagers, I believe you have the gift of giving. You're one of those people who finds a way to be a blessing to someone else. It comes natural to you to see opportunity and to be a blessing. Others of us have to work at it. You listening? But we should work at it. Why? Because Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I want you to notice what caught my eye in the text here in Mark chapter number 6. In verse 30, the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. They had certainly been very busy at that time. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as so to eat. All right, so Lord recognized that the apostles there maybe needed a day off. These men were tired. Don't miss the principle here. These men were tired. They were hungry. They had great need. They had personal needs, no doubt. Listen, but just because you and I are having a difficult time does not give us a right to become selfish and self-focused ever. The Bible says in verse 33, the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. He began to teach them many things. All right, so even though the Lord and the disciples, the apostles there had separated themselves, that all of these people followed them anyways. And when the Lord saw them, he realized that there was a great multitude here, and that this great multitude of people had a need. But I want you to notice the apostles' reaction versus the Lord's reaction. And I want you to think about what your attitude would be when you're tired, when you've had a long week, when maybe your funds are low, when maybe no one's done anything for you in a while. What would your attitude be? Because the disciples, the apostles, they're excited about what God had done. And the Lord said, you know what? Let's take a break here. You guys haven't even been able to stop and eat. And so I think it maybe crept into their mindset that, yeah, you know what? You know what? I deserve something right now. You know what? I have been busy. You know what? I have been a success. And you know what? I have served others. You know, right now, this is just going to have to be about me. That is never taught one time in the Word of God. Look at their reactions. Verse 35, when the day was now far spent, his disciples come unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Here's the apostles' reaction. Send them away. Is that your attitude? Oh, man. Don't look up. Don't look up. Don't look up. Why? There's a person over there asking for money. Don't look up. Just look down. You say, preacher, do you believe that there aren't any fake people out there that are loading their pockets full of cash? Yeah, there are going to be some of those out there. But God will deal with that kind of person. Preacher, do you stop at every stop sign? No, I don't. In fact, I don't even trust most people when it comes to safety and so forth. But you know what I mean. You know right now sitting in your seat what your attitude is. If your attitude is, how can we be a blessing to someone else? I told my wife the other day, a couple weeks ago, we were shopping, and I said, man, adult kids are so boring to shop for. And I'm overlooking at the little cars that the kids get in. They drive the cars and that sort of stuff. And I said that, you know, that old phrase that we use most of our lives. Well, I wish I was a grandparent one of these days. And I told Miss Audie, I said, you know, I wish we could find a family that genuinely we knew was in need, that dad and mom work hard and they take care of their business, but it's just been a rough year. I said, I wish we could just find a family of little kids that we could just spoil to death. That doesn't mean everybody come to my office after church. All right. But I said, I wish we could. I mean, if these yahoos aren't going to give us any sons-in-laws and daughters-in-laws and no grandkids and our life's going to be boring. I said that I wish we could just find a family and just spoil them to death because that looks cool and that makes noise and that's me. Then you're over here, oh, let's get this for him. Let's just get this. That's just boring. Folks, listen, your attitude ought to be giving. When you walk in a store, it ought to be, what can we, oh, I wish, it shouldn't be, I'll have this, and I'll have that, and I'll have that, and I'll have that. Now, y'all remember the good, what was that chocolate factory? Willy Wonka, not the newer one, the stupid, wicked, evil-looking one, but the old one that was legit. And y'all remember that? And that young lady in there, I'll have this, and I want this. And she put herself ahead of everybody else. Remember a little fat kid that fell in the chocolate pool? Ruined it for everybody, man. Don't be that one. I mean, with the attitude, not the body, I can't say much. But what's your attitude? So Jesus saw them. He was moved with compassion. And the disciples said, send them away. And what did Jesus say in the very next verse, verse 37? He answered and said to them, give. Give. Turn with me to James chapter 2, if you would. James chapter number 2 there towards the back of the Bible. I'll give you a second to turn there. Young people, are you just sitting around waiting to see what mom and dad, grandma and grandpa give you for Christmas? Or have you even considered coming up with something for grandma or grandpa? Coming up with something for mom and dad? You may not have any money, but I'm looking around. You got a hand. And you can write a thank you note. You got a hand that might be able to go pick up some cans somewhere. You got a hand that might be able to go rake some leaves in someone's yard, make a little extra cash. It's a matter if you're a giver or if you're just a receiver. You're just waiting to see what you get. James chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 12, so speak you and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty, judged by the word of God. So if God's word tells us to do it, we need to be doing it. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath shown no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Or in other words, like the book of Micah says, that God delights in mercy. He'd rather show mercy than show judgment. But there are people in need. And if we don't learn to find a way somehow to show mercy, find a way somehow to help someone beside ourselves, we're going to have to answer to God for that. To whom much is given, of him shall much be required. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Wow. Are you a faith feeder? Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? Now, I'm probably mid-range. I'm not one that is blind to the needs of others, but I'm not as good as just giving stuff away as my dad even just, I mean, he'll give away the last dollar he has in his wallet. I'm mid-range right here. I thought about the freeze that's coming. That is pipe bursting freeze, right there. You know what? One of the things I did yesterday, And I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just trying to illustrate it. I went through my storage building, and I made sure to find all my plumbing supplies. And I went last night about 8 o'clock and bought a bunch of couplings because I thought I had some and I didn't. And I thought, you know what? I don't want anybody in our church to have to call that plumber and pay $200 or $300 when they can call me and I'll have the supplies and they can pay me $200 or $300. And no. But I'm saying that was my mindset as I thought, you know, I want the church to be able to know that a couple guys can go dig a hole and maybe try to fix that line. We can't do everything. We can't pay for everything. But is that your mindset, or is your mindset always about you? He said, even so, if faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Okay, so Christians ought to be givers. We ought to find a way to help others. What is your attitude toward giving? Whether it be money, whether it be a listening ear. Can I talk to you? Oh, I don't have time right now. Whether it be your time. Hey, can we get a few people to volunteer to help at the church? Could we get a few people to wash some dishes after a fellowship? Could we get a few people to do this? Or could you help me with that? I don't have time. Maybe giving a helping hand. Are you selfish? Do you only think of how it affects you? Or do you obey God in this area of giving? He told us in Galatians 5:13, by love, serve one another. 2 Corinthians 12:15, and I will very gladly, this was Paul's attitude, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Paul said, you know what? I've been given so much in life, I want to give back. And I know that I'm not going to be appreciated by everyone. I know that I'm not going to receive back from everyone that I give to and sacrifice. He said, I'll very gladly be spent for you, spent, worn out because I helped that person. And he said, I'll very gladly do that. The Bible says in Acts 10 and verse 38 that Jesus went about doing good. Learn to be a giver. Work at being a giver. Practice being a giver. Ask God to give you eyes to see when and where you can quietly do not your alms before men to be seen of men, or you have your reward right there. But ask God to give you the eyes to see when and where you can quietly be a blessing to someone else. By the way, nowhere in the Bible does it teach us to live our lives as takers. Let me pause there. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach us to live our life as takers. Every once in a while, someone is a blessing to us or something happens and someone finds out about it and they thank God for that. You know your attitude. But if your attitude is always, well, I wonder who's going to help us next, and I wonder who's going to provide next, and I wonder, you know, no one's done anything. No. What the Bible does teach us is to work. To work. I've said it before. You've seen it also, and I don't know what each condition is in here, so God will be the judge of that. But friend, I have seen people at Home Depot. There's always a lady sitting in a wheelchair, sitting there watching over the self-service items there. I don't think she's going to run you down if you run out without paying it, but she's always there in that wheelchair. And boy, you see some of those older ladies and you think, those older men think, man, I hate the fact that they have to work. I don't know why they are. Not my business. May just be for insurance. But they're willing to do so. You go to Walmart and there's someone there that maybe with a prosthetic leg or in a wheelchair, and they're sitting, they're standing there as you come and go, maybe checking your receipt. Hey, just trying to do something, amen. Of course, you go to Walmart self-checkout and they pay 20 people to watch you. Like, y'all could just be doing this for me instead of staring at me. I'm not going to steal it. God teaches us to work. There's an old saying, work as if everything depended upon you, and pray as if everything depended upon God. So it's one thing if you're saying, you know, God, we're doing the best we can and we're not wasting our money and we have a budget and we're working or we have a set income, a Social Security, whatever it may be, and we're not being frivolous with our money. And but folks, listen, work and work hard and do right and then pray. And listen, trust God to use people to be a blessing to you in your life. But you know you've become a taker if you get mad because no one helped you, no one offered, no one asked, no one called. They knew I had this and they knew I had, hey, let's learn to be givers. One of the greatest illustrations, John chapter 5, if you want to turn there, John chapter number 5. I think that's one of the greatest illustrations of I'm doing everything that I can and then God provides. John chapter 5, verse number 1. I'll give you a second. I hear the pages turning there. John chapter number 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Now listen, whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had, okay? First one to dive in had got cured. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. And he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? I love this, verse 7. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. Nobody's given to me. That's not what he says. When their water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And then Jesus heals him. Impotent. He couldn't walk. He was lame in his feet. You know what he said? I'm not going to do it because I might not get back up. He wasn't just sitting there. God bless. He wasn't just sitting there saying, you know, I'm just having a hard time. And if I put something on Facebook, I could. I haven't been on Facebook now about a month. And I had so much peace. I don't even know the stupid things you are doing or saying or writing or photos. I don't even know. What, somebody the other day was like, Pastor, did you? I said, don't tell me. I don't care. I'm just going to preach the word of God as it is, people as they are. Y'all can do whatever you want to destroy your testimony. Not mine. I'm just going to preach the word of God. Amen. You might be one of those that go, I'll tell you what, man, I've just been one of them. I'm not mocking you, but we serve a God that's bigger than all of our problems, all of our trials. Why would we constantly have to go back to the world and say, I'm sorry, I know I trust God. I just had to let y'all know I don't. Now, folks, listen. He said, you know, when the angel troubles the water, the first person in gets healed. He said, but no one ever puts me in. He said, but while I'm coming, he is dragging himself to that pool. God says, you do your part and I'll do my part. Someone said the best place to pray for rain is at the end of a garden hoe. Don't just sit there and say, God, provide for me. Get out there and start digging and start planting and do the work and then ask God to bless what it is that you're trying to do. But be a giver. Let me give you three biblical reasons to be a giver. Turn to Matthew chapter 20, if you would. Three biblical reasons to be a giver, all right? Number one is this, giving makes us Christ-like. Giving makes us Christ-like. The disciples said, send them away. Jesus said, no, I want you to find a way to give and be a help to those people. Giving makes us Christ-like. The Bible says in Matthew 20 and verse 20, we're going to see the disciples here, the apostles, they're arguing over who's the greatest. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children, the sons of Zebedee, or James and John, with her sons, and worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand, the other on the left, in thy kingdom. Mama promoting the boys here. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? Be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, we are able. He said to them, you shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to him, to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. When the 10 heard it, all right, you have 12 apostles. Two of them brought mommy along to get promoted. The other 10 heard it. They were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Now, I don't know why they're too upset because, you know, you read on later in the Garden of Gethsemane, they're all arguing about who the best is. But Jesus teaches them a principle here. It's not about who's the best. It's not about getting your name. You're one of the names in the church. You're one of the known people at the job. They know you. Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. They, their great, exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. That means your servant. In another place, it's servant. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as, Christ-like, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. All right, so giving makes us Christ-like. He gave his life, right, that you and I could be saved. There would be no reason to celebrate a Christmas and a baby being born had that baby not grown up to give his life on the cross of Calvary. Not only that, but he gave us salvation, but he gave us eternal life at the moment that we trusted Christ as our Savior. The Bible says in John 10 and verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He gives us as Christians a peace that a lost person can never understand or enjoy. He said in John 14 and verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He gave us a Bible to guide us through this life. In John 17, 14, I have given them thy word. And I know he's talking about the disciples in that day, but he gave us his word, didn't he? In a completed word of God. I've given them thy word. The world hath hated them because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He gives us blessings every day. The Bible says that he daily loadeth us with benefits. So there's no way you would call Jesus selfish. Giving makes us Christ-like. Let me say secondly is this. Turn to John chapter number 9 with me if you would. A little bit different preaching, a little bit different style of a message, but John chapter number 9. Not only does giving make us Christ-like, but secondly, giving allows us to clearly display the love of God. Giving allows us to clearly display the love of God. As you read through the Gospels, you'll find that Jesus regularly met their physical needs before he met their spiritual needs. Look at John chapter 9 and verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh which when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and saith unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Okay, so you see there, he met a physical need that, of course, none of us could meet in giving that guy his sight. Well, this guy's just kind of put through the test, the Pharisees, you know, who did this to you, blah, blah, blah. They're asking his parents, he's of age, ask him. And they boot him out of their presence, and Jesus finds him later in John 9, verse number 35. Look at verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Okay? Do you see that? That the opportunity arose because the Lord met his physical need. Now, I'll pause there and tell you this. I'm always helping people. There are always people that will come by the church or, you know, here, there, wherever. I always give them, and I try to, I figure I do, but I always give them a gospel tract. I always give them the gospel. Now, I know people, and I'm not criticizing, but I know people elsewhere that, I mean, they'll win everybody to Christ that they just handed a $50 bill. And I believe the Holy Spirit, God's got to be involved in it. And I'll give them the gospel, but I tell you what, when I pay somebody's hotel bill, they're willing to do anything, say any prayer. You say, you don't believe people can get saved like that? Oh, I absolutely do. But I'm not paying people to be saved. There are many of them I've helped, and then they've come back, and I've talked to them about the need for salvation and the need to get in church. I'm just simply saying that ask God to give you wisdom. He that winneth souls is wise, okay? You don't get wisdom because you want a soul. You've got to be wise to win a soul to Jesus Christ. Our job is to plant the seed, not to pay people to build up our numbers, okay? But Jesus certainly helped the blind man to see and then was able to lead him to himself later on, lead him to Christ and see him saved. Showing the love of God by being a help and a blessing to others will open doors for us to share the gospel with some. The Bible says in 1 John 3 and verse number 16, hereby perceive we or understand we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. He says, don't let your love just be a written word or a spoken word. He says, show that love. 1 Corinthians 13, that's agape love. That's a love that serves. That's the word charity is used there. He said, don't just tell people you love them. Show them that you love them by helping them around their house or help them with their yard or do something for their family. I'm just challenging you this morning to be a giver. Biblical reasons to be a giver. Number one, giving makes us Christ-like. Biblical reasons to be a giver. Number two, giving allows us to clearly display the love of God. And then number three is this. Giving makes us candidates for more of God's blessings. Now, I had it written in my notes as giving makes us candidates for God's blessing. And then I had to mark that out the other day because I thought, man, we're already blessed of God. We're not trying to earn more blessings, but again, you cannot outgive God. Giving makes us candidates for more of God's blessings. Now, that's my last point. I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 17 over in the Old Testament, if you would, please. 1 Kings chapter number 17, because I know that a lot of times our attitude is, well, I just don't have it. Well, I just can't this and I can't that. All right. So 1 Kings 17. Verse number 8, the Bible says, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, speaking to Elijah, the preacher, the man of God, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Hey, bring me some cornbread. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat and die. She said, I don't have it. But I want you to remember what verse number 9 said. God said, Elijah, I want you to go to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow woman. God already spoke to her heart about doing something. Verse 13, Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as I have said, but make me thereof a little cake first. I just can't worry about other people right now. It's just got to be about me. That's not the life God wants you to live. And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. The barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Friend, you cannot outgive God. And you say, I just can't. You can if you want to. You could be a giver if you want to. Giving makes us candidates for more of God's blessings. Listen to these couple of verses, and I'm going to give you a poem, and we're going to be done. Luke 6:38 says this, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Listen, shall men give into your bosom? Well, no one ever. I'm going to tell you what. When I'm sick, nobody ever calls me. When I'm in the hospital, nobody ever visits me. I can't tell you last time somebody did this and that and the other. Well, the Bible says, for with the same measure that you meet, with the same measure that you deal out, with all, it should be measured to you again. If you've ever been disappointed by what someone failed to do in your life, you make sure to never disappoint someone else. We don't have time as Christians just to sit around and worry about what no one did for us. What we need to do is learn to be givers. So you know what? It's Monday. What can I do to be a help and a blessing to someone else today? The Bible says in Proverbs 19, verse 17, he that hath pity upon the poor, listen, lendeth unto the Lord. Well, I'm just thinking that person's probably already getting a check from the government, and they're probably already this, and they got this, and they, I don't know. If I knew that they were trying to just rob me, I wouldn't give to them. But because I don't know that, and I can't have them fill out an application, and I hand them $5, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. Here's the second part of that in Proverbs 19:17. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again? You cannot outgive God. In a world filled with selfish, self-centered, selfie-taking people, let's be different. Let's be different. Let's see the needs of others. Let's be givers. I want to read, this came to mind, and I want to read, it takes a couple of minutes here, but this was written by a pastor about pastors. I've read it to you before. It's my favorite poem in the world. But I want you to put yourself in that place. It's not just about you and your spouse. It's not just about you and your spouse and your kids. You still have parents. You parents, we still have children. They are friends. There are others in this world. I want you to put yourself in this picture. I certainly could put myself in this picture as a pastor, but rather than just being me, you think about somebody coming to your house. Here's the poem, a lengthy poem. Listen to it. Ask God to speak to your heart, convict you. I have a burden, Pastor, that I'd like to lay on you. I listened, though he never knew I had a burden too. I took a tearful look toward mine, then his came into view. 'Twas plain to see my burden was the larger of the two. I saw his load alongside mine, and though they both were real, the yoke he bore was made of wood, and mine was made of steel. To him I said, come unto me, I'll gladly carry thine. Then whispered unto selfishness, but who will carry mine? I softly laid my burden down, to help him his to bear, while knowing that my heavy load I'm not allowed to share. I'll help him with his burden, then regain mine after a while, when I will sigh and weep once more, while now I force a smile. I felt the chains of bondage till a captive came to me. He bade me help him break the bands and aid him to be free. I saw the fetters binding him and felt a pity pain, for his were made of little rope, and mine of heavy chain. I laid aside my heavy chains, so he my help could borrow. I'll help free him of his bondage now, and I'll think of mine tomorrow. A doubter knocked at my study door. I had an urge to groan. Why bring your pebble doubt to me when mine is made of stone? I smiled at him and listened while believing in my doubt. I laid it down reluctantly and feigned about a happy shout. I sat alone in darkened room and felt a shadow's knife. Another came to share with me some darkness in his life. As I compared my night with his dark possessed a lack, for his was just an evening shade while mine was midnight black. I slowly laid my nighttime down to help him seek for light. I'll tread my dimming path again once I have made his bright. A troubled soul came to my door, a problem to confide. I had a problem too that day. 'Twas hard for me to hide. My problem was a mountain steep, and his was just a hill. My problem was an ocean wide, and his a tiny nil. Yet 'tis my lot to fill his need and put mine on the shelf, for I must lay my heartache down and hide it from myself. He told me of a broken heart while mine was breaking too. I told him of a mending God who maketh all things new. He told me of his thirsty soul. I gave him living water. He said he was a broken vase. I told him of the potter. Another came when I was sick to say he had the flu. His fever was 101. Mine was 102. Another came when I was faint to say that he was weak. Another came when I was dumb to say he could not speak. Another weeping seeker came for me his tears to dry. I went alone and wiped my eyes, then told him not to cry. Another came when I was tired to say he needed rest. I lifted him with my weary arms and tried to give him zest. And now it's late, and all have gone, each one to his abode. So I must find my problems now and regain my heavy load. I love this. Where is the burden I had borne? I had it a while ago. Where is the problem I must solve? I left it here, I know. Where is the darkness I once knew? I now see only light. The chains, the tears, the pains, the fears are nowhere now in sight. I cannot find my broken heart. Where is my fevered brow? I have a song. The tears are gone. I cannot find them now. My sickness now hath turned to health, and trust replaceth fright. Assurance covers all my doubts. My darkness now is light. I heard a voice from heaven say, my child, 'tis always true. When you take care of others' needs, I will take care of you. One thing about the winter, it can be very easy to get down and out. No sunshine for a few days. It's cold. Nothing to do. And if you're not careful, and it's sick season, all that, if you're not careful, you'll just go find your recliner somewhere. You'll sit there all day long thinking about how bad it is. How come no one's called? How come no one's texted? You know, when the next time the devil does that, why don't you call somebody? The next time the devil does that, why don't you text somebody? Say, you crossed my mind, so I prayed for you and wanted you to know that I just prayed for you. The next time you sit there and go, what'd you do on Friday? I just sat there all day because my life is so bad. Oh, God, help us. Rather than sitting there all day, if we're going to do anything, let's just get on our knees all day before God and say, God, change my spirit. God, help me to live by faith. I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Friend, listen, I'm just trying to challenge all of us during Christmas. I know for some of us, it's easy. For some of us, it's a work. But you're doing it because you know it's Christmas and you better not show up with nothing. Be honest with you, I don't want to give a wrong perspective here, but I think we've gotten pretty silly about Christmas, to be honest. I'm not trying to praise you Scrooges who always act like you just didn't have time. I'm not saying that. But if next November 21st, when I turn 49, you come to my house and everybody has a gift for everybody except me, what sense does that make? What do we do for Christmas? You may think this is funny. I actually thought this week, you kids would really get a kick out of it. Sarah and Josh would get underneath the pew. actually thought about doing this for Bus Church next Saturday. I probably won't do it, but I thought, I'm going to get in a box and I'm going to have Miss Audrey just wrap me. There would be clothing underneath, but I'm going to have her just wrap me. You know what God needs? He needs us. He needs us. He gave his life so we could be saved. We ought to just give our life to him and say, Lord, all of me. Give our family to him. This shouldn't be back and forth all the time. This should not be a struggle. This should just be, my life is yours to control. You paid my sin debt on the cross of Calvary. I don't have to go to hell. Thank you, Lord, for giving. I give my life to you. But then let's go out. And some that need to work at it, hey, work at it. But find a way. Young people, you listened to me today. You did well. You stayed awake better than some adults in here. Be a giver. Be a giver. I can't do everything, but I can do something. Be a giver. Let God bless your life. We don't give to get. I'm still waiting on that pressed down, shaken together, good measure. No, we give to get to give. Let your life be about giving.